All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This morning we were in chapter 2, and this evening I want us to look at the 11th chapter. And you will remember this morning I told you that this book is straightening out a lot of things that were happening in the church, and these things were not being done right. They were not being handled right. And so the Apostle Paul sat down and penned this book, and in so doing, straightened out a lot of the issues that were taking place in this church. Now, one of the things that was the problem was the matter of having everybody come to church for the purpose of eating, and it got to be a who's the best cook type of scenario where everybody was wanting here taste my this or here taste my that, and now mine's better than hers, don't you think? And one thing led to another, and you had a bunch of griping and fussing and complaining going on. But he said that when you come together, that you're not supposed to come together for the purpose of outdoing one another and trying to get your light to shine brighter than someone else's light. And certainly that is true, isn't it? But then if you'll look, please, at verse 23. Paul says here in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do what? Show. Ye do show the Lord's death till he come." All right, so there's the instruction on the Lord's Supper. And you will notice here that Paul focuses his attention upon the underlying meaning of the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. And that underlying meaning is to remember what the Lord Jesus did for us. You see, if we get our eyes off of the Lord Jesus and get our eyes on everything else that's going on, we're going to get ourselves into trouble. All right? There have been people who have sat in these pews who got their eyes on something on the sideline. And when they did, it got them off center and it got them away from the Lord, and they're not here with us anymore. That happens, oh my soul, that happens more than any of us will ever know until we get to heaven and it's revealed and we'll know even as we're known. But notice here, two times in verse 24, "This do in remembrance of me." And then again in verse 25, he says, "This do in remembrance of me." All right, so let's pray and we'll ask the Lord to bless. And then I want to speak to you tonight on this subject. Don't forget me. Don't forget me. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for your wonderful word. And I pray you'll bless your word to our hearts tonight. Father, I pray that we'll read these verses that were written by the hand of the Apostle Paul. And Father, we'll realize that those words were given by the unction of the Holy Spirit of God, and they are divinely inspired. And I pray you'll help us as we read these words to give serious thought to what Paul is trying to get the church to understand. And Father, I pray you'll help us tonight to understand that same principle. We are to love you. We are to put you first in everything we say and everything we do. And Father, help us tonight to see how we can do that. And we'll give you the glory and the honor for everything that is accomplished. In Jesus' precious name we ask it, and amen. When I was in Bible college, I had to take, well, me and everybody else, we had to take our junior year this class. It was called Bible Doctrines. It was a two-semester class, and in order to graduate, you had to have it. And I thoroughly enjoyed it because I learned a lot. But some of my roommates did not enjoy it because they weren't Bible majors per se. But I enjoyed it thoroughly. I thought it was just so enlightening, and I learned things that I never in my wildest dreams ever thought were in the Bible. And one of the things that we learned in that class was, as we were studying the two ordinances of the church. Now, the first ordinance of the church we saw this morning, that's baptism. And I want you to notice that when it comes to the matter of baptism, the whole thing is about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know you've noticed that. When we baptize, we ask the person, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die? And they say yes. And we'll sometimes, I follow up with and you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ alone as your only hope to get to heaven. And they will then say yes. And then I will say, okay, upon that profession of faith and by the authority given me in the church, the open door, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism. All right? You see that? Buried with him in baptism. Now, I very well can't stop right there, can I? All right? Mothers start to panic when you hold their little ones down too long. No, you don't dare do that. It's buried with him in baptism, but neither did our precious Savior stay in the ground. On the third day, just as he said, he came out of the tomb. And so upon your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. So we don't leave you under the water. To my knowledge, we have never lost anyone in the baptistry. All right, so please, if you're letting fear keep you from being baptized, don't do that. We've never lost anybody, and I promise you we won't lose you. All right? But that's the baptism, the first ordinance. And it's about Jesus. Buried, raised. How'd you get saved? You got saved because the Lord Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and then resurrected from the grave. So that's what we're doing. You are testifying that you are now saved and on your way to heaven because of Christ. not because of yourself or anything you've done. All right, but then there is a second ordinance that was given to the New Testament church. And the Lord Jesus is the one who gave this ordinance to the church. And we call it the Lord's table or the Lord's supper. I get asked every now and then, why don't we have communion in the morning? And the reason is because it's not the Lord's brunch. It's the Lord's table. It's the Lord's supper. We do it in the evening. You say, well, couldn't you do it in the morning? I guess you could, but if the Lord did it at night, all right? He had the disciples in the upper room, and it was dark, and they left there and went across to the Garden of Gethsemane. But the whole idea here is not what time of the day you do it in, but it is what is done. And what is done is up here on this table, there are two elements. There is the bread, unleavened bread. Leaven is always a picture of sin in the Bible, always. And so they used unleavened bread in the New Testament when they served the bread to the disciples. When Jesus served the bread to the disciples, it was unleavened bread. And so we also have the juice. Now, this is not wine. It has no alcohol in it. And I'm telling you, Jesus didn't use alcohol in his wine either. All right? It was grape juice. It was juice, the fruit of the vine. And so here I found myself in Bible doctrines class. And one of the first lessons we had was on the matter of the Lord's table. And there were all these things that I never heard of before. There was this thing called transubstantiation. Transubstantiation. Then there was consubstantiation. And all this kind of stuff. And basically, all the different, there was the Lutheran theory. And then there was the Calvin theory. Well, how about the Bible theory? Anybody ever care to teach that one? That might work best. I think it does. All right. So anyway, we had to learn what all those different teachings were. And of course, the transubstantiation, that's the thing that the Catholics believe, where the bread becomes the literal body of Christ and you eat it. All right, and then the juice becomes the literal blood of Christ, and you drink it. And folks, that's cannibalism. And we don't practice cannibalism, all right? You say, well, Pastor, why are you making such a big deal out of that? Well, after I learned all this stuff, I remember studying for the exam that I was supposed to take the next day, and I'm going through all the notes that I had taken in class and rereading the book and that they gave us to get all this information out of, the Bible Doctrines book, and I remember sitting there laughing about how the devil has made such a disaster out of something as simple as a picture by taking the bread, which is a picture of our Lord's body that was broken, and the juice, a picture of our Lord's blood that was shed, and turning it into something that God never intended it to be. Folks, the Lord's Supper is not a part of your salvation. You don't take the Lord's Supper in order to be saved. You take the Lord's Supper because you are saved. You're doing it in remembrance of him. So what are you remembering? You're remembering the fact that he was taken and beaten and scourged and then nailed to a cross and hung between heaven and earth, and his body was broken so that his precious blood could flow. It is the blood that makes the atonement. It is the blood that brings us redemption. And so what are we doing here tonight, 2,000 years later? Well, I'll tell you what we're doing. We gathered in here tonight to just remember what Jesus did for us. You know, is it communion? Is it the Holy Communion? Is it the Holy Eucharist? Just what is it? I'll tell you what it is. It's God's people getting together and simply remembering what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago. And so as the Lord Jesus is now at the right hand of God the Father, and he looks over and sees the church participating in taking a little piece of this unleavened bread and a cup of this juice and eating it and drinking in remembrance of what Jesus did for us, the Lord Jesus just looks down and says, wow, look at that. They still love me. They still remember what I did for them. Those folks at Open Door, they're still thankful. They're still thankful that I saved and redeemed their souls. Folks, that's what communion is. It's not all this, mumbo jumbo and a part of your seven steps to get to heaven and all that foolishness. No. It's just remembering what Jesus did for you. The Lord's Supper is remembering. And we have gotten so wrapped up in a bunch of rituals, and we kind of approach it that way. Man, that's not what it's about. It's not a ritual that the church does. He said, this do as often as you will, as often as you want, in remembrance of me. So whether it's 6 weeks, which is what we do every 6 weeks, or if it's 4 weeks, what coming up, I don't remember exactly when it is, but coming up, we had something scheduled, and they said, well, can we move communion to the next week? Yeah, we can move it to the next week. Well, but we always do it every 6 weeks. I'm wasting my time. Do you not see the point, folks? It's not about us. It's about remembering who Jesus is. And so remember, he could have said, now, guys, when I'm gone, I want you to... I want you to raise $10 million and build a memorial library and erect a statue in my memory. But no. All he said was, look, guys, get together every now and then, as often as you feel it necessary, and you just take a little unleavened bread and you just take a little cup of juice and you remember me. You remember me. And folks, that's what the Lord's table is all about. Jesus doesn't want to be remembered by a statue built in his honor. He wants to be remembered by the purpose for which he came to this earth to begin with, and that purpose was to die and shed his blood on Calvary's cross for sinful men. And he is simply saying, I left heaven to come here to this earth that I might give my life to redeem your life. And I just don't want you to forget what I've done for you. I just don't want you to forget. All right, so let me give you a couple quick thoughts here. First of all, I think the Lord wanted us or wants us to take communion for the purpose of being reminded of how much he loves us. You know, there's no doubt that God loves man. There is no doubt the Lord Jesus loves us. No doubt. I mean, he died for us. For God sent his only begotten son, the only son he had. Why did he do that? For God so loved the world. That's why he did it. He did it because he loves us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8, Paul said, love never fails, or charity, which is the character of love, never fails. It's real. It's true Bible love, and true Bible love never fails. It just doesn't. I've had couples in my office, and one of them will look down at the floor and then look at me and say, well, I just don't love her anymore. Every time I hear that, I flinch. Every time I hear that, I just don't love her anymore. You don't? No. Well, did you ever love her? Oh, yeah. Well, if you ever loved her, you still love her. No, I don't. Yes, you do. Because love never fails. All right, now there might be a bunch of garbage piled up on top of that love, but mark it down. If you ever loved anybody, you still love them. Because love never fails. Love never fails. God loves us with a true love that never stops. It never fails. That means that you and I, we don't have to love God back. He still loves us. He still loves us no matter what. So much of the way we as sinners love down here on this planet in our sinful conditions, so much of our love depends on what reciprocation we get. I overheard these little first graders one day. I shouldn't tell all my secrets, but I can hear everything goes on in my office. I don't know what the problem is. Those windows don't shut right or what. But I hear everything. And so there was these two little kids, and I'm not going to tell on the kids because not only are they here tonight, their moms and dads are here tonight. But they were standing outside when they were about in kindergarten, or not kindergarten, but first grade, second grade, somewhere back in there. And one of them said, do you love me? And he said, well, I don't know. Do you love me? And she said, what do you mean you don't know? You told me yesterday you love me. And he said, well, I don't know if I do today or not. And I just sat there and I thought, I got to see this. So I got up and walked over and was looking out the window. And I just started cracking up laughing. I said, listen, this is awesome. And they stood there and had this big, long conversation about, well, do you love me? Well, I don't know. Well, you told me you did yesterday. Well, that was yesterday. I'm not so sure how I feel today. And I just thought, what'd you do, gal? You know, what'd you do? Did you close his desk on his fingers or what? You know, he's mad at you. What'd you do? And I almost went out to referee, and I thought, no, I better not get involved in that. I never would hear the end of that one. But folks, listen, God's love it's eternal. It has no beginning. It has no end. He has always loved us, and he always will. He always will. And so he proved that he loved us when he sent his son to go to that cross, and when wicked hands crucified him on that cross, and he looked down at that evil mob that were crucifying him, and he cried out in mercy and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It didn't matter that they were trying to kill him. He loved them anyway. And it didn't matter. Didn't matter at all. That's true Bible love. So let me tell you something, folks. Just as clear as I can state it to you, long before the world was ever created, and long before Adam and Eve ever took a breath in the Garden of Eden, and long before the sun ever broke in the eastern sky, God has loved you. Mark that down. He has loved you with a never-ending love. Now, the Lord's Supper is merely you and me, each one of us. It's nothing more than each of us taking a moment and saying, "Lord Jesus, I remember what you did for me. And Lord, you loved me, and I want to remember, and I want to love you back. I don't deserve what you did for me." And the Lord Jesus will smile and say, "I love you so much, I provided my unfailing love for you on Calvary, and I will never lose that love that I have for you. It will never fail. And I will promise you that that love that I have for you is never going to fail. Never. As long as God lives, we live under his love." And so tonight, when we take the Lord's Supper, I can just imagine that our blessed Savior looks down upon us and he just smiles and maybe elbows the Father and says, "Look at there, they're thinking about me. Look at there, look what they're doing. Look what they're remembering what I did for them." Isn't that awesome? And that's all the Lord wants, just for us to remember what he did for us. I don't know, he might call a couple of the angels to look over the battlements of heaven and say, "You see them down there at Open Door? Look at them. They love me. They're celebrating the fact that I died for them. They're remembering that I died for them." Then secondly, he wanted us to remember the great sacrifice that he paid for each of us. The great sacrifice. And folks, it certainly was a great sacrifice. Think on it, folks. He who was rich became poor for our sake. He said one day that the birds of the air have their nest, and the foxes have their dens, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. They lied about him. They scourged him with a cat of nine tails. They beat him with rods. They blindfolded him and slapped him across the face and then said, "Prophesy and tell us who hit you." But he didn't do a thing. He just stood there and took it. They marched him through the streets of Jerusalem, mockery going at every turn. people clearing their throats and spitting upon him. How shameful. But he kept going until he fell beneath the load of the cross. They placed a crown of thorns upon his head. He was then nailed to that cross and for 6 long hours hung between heaven and earth to pay your penalty for sin and mine. And I'm telling you, folks, he would have done it if not a one of us accepted him as our Savior. He would still have done it. He would still have done what he did. I'm thankful that when he spoke to my heart one day, I responded. And I said, Lord, would you be my Savior? And I think he was thrilled when I did that. He was thrilled when you did it too. You made him happy. And now here we are in the church house tonight. And we got some unleavened bread down here. And he told the disciples, he said, look here, this bread, this is my body, which is broken for you. And he took the cup and he said, this cup, this juice, it's not my blood, but it's a picture of my blood that was shed for you. And he very clearly, pointedly told those men that they were remembering him whenever they took communion. Jesus will be blessed by what we do tonight, just as we have been blessed because he redeemed us. I remember when I got saved, man, I was so happy. You hear of people getting up off the altar and shouting and carrying on. Not me. No, I got up from the altar and the first thing I did was this. I went, whew. Because God just reached down and took that guilt. It's gone. I've been breathing ever since. Amen. So have you. Man, we got so much to be thankful for. And I think the Lord Jesus will just look down tonight as we take the bread and the juice and we'll hear our Savior in our own hearts as he whispers, I've loved you. I loved you so much I died for you. And now here you are remembering me. Oh, how happy you have made me tonight. You see, folks, you know, they're men are passing out the elements and you see folks, you know, looking to make sure who's getting what and who's taking. Did they not take communion tonight? You know, bless you. See what I'm saying? No, let's spend some time with the Lord tonight. Thankful. Lord, thank you for saving me. And I think the Lord Jesus will just look down upon us tonight and he will be blessed beyond imagination because we are remembering him. Then lastly, I think the Lord Jesus wanted us to anticipate his return to get us. Look at verse 26. He said, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. What's the next 3 words? Till he come. You see, he's coming again. That's the promise we have in the Word of God. And God cannot lie. He says he's coming. Mark it down. He's coming. I don't know when he's coming. Nobody else on this planet knows when he's coming. So when you hear somebody say, I know when he's coming, turn the radio off. Turn the television set off. Turn the CD player off. They're a crackpot. They don't know when he's coming. They're lying to you. They're lying to you. In John 13, the chapter where the Lord Jesus was in the upper room where he served this meal to his disciples, we are told in chapter 14, verse 1, that Jesus said, after he gave them the Lord's Supper, he said to them, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And he told us about heaven. It's right here in the book. He told us all about heaven. John saw heaven in his vision in the book of the Revelation. John saw heaven. And Jesus said that after he told them about heaven, he said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So what a blessed thought. The Lord Jesus served his disciples and then told them, "You guys do this as often as you want to do it. You guys do this, but I'm coming back. You do it until I come back." I think it would be awesome if just as soon as we said amen tonight, the trumpet would sound. Wouldn't that be awesome? And up we'd go to meet the Lord in the air. Listen, folks, as sure as the sun came up this morning, Jesus is coming again. Do you ever think about how much Jesus wants us with him? You know, Revelation 1 talks about the patience of Jesus Christ. I'm impatient. How about you? Huh? Yeah, we all are, aren't we? I'm worse than most. I saw the other day where they're working on where Elon Musk and his outfit are working on these airplanes, single airplanes. You just get in it and it goes up. They've already got them. They're getting them ready. We're going to see it if the Lord tarries in our lifetime. We're going to see it. Now, if I can get in one of them things and I can get over here from my house to the church in 2 minutes, I'm game. I'll try it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm going to be the crash test dummy. I know what I'm going to be. Yeah, I know what I'm going to be. But you see, the Lord's Supper reminds us that because of Calvary, Jesus is coming again. You say, well, why is he coming? To finish what he started. I've told you all this, and every time I say this to you, I can see the surprise on your faces. But right now, if you're saved, you are as saved as you can be. But you're not as saved as you're going to be. You're as saved as you can be on this earth. But when the Lord Jesus comes back, we are caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Right now, I still have this old sin-cursed body. But when the Lord Jesus comes back, I'm losing this thing. Hallelujah. And I'm getting me a new glorified body. So I'm as saved now as I can be, but I'm not as saved as I'm going to be when the Lord Jesus comes back. Man, what a promise. Can you imagine hearing that trumpet sound and then, boom, we're gone. And the next thing, we're up in the clouds and everybody's there. And the Lord says, come on, folks, we're going to heaven. And just like that, we're all standing in heaven. Oh, man, what a day that's going to be. And I just think the Lord Jesus wants us to look forward, because we love him and we want to be with him probably just as much as he wants to be with us. And to that, I just simply say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, like John. That's how John closes the Bible. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Man, that ought to be on our hearts. Folks, I remember sitting in that doctrines class and just wondering, how'd you come up with this? How is this your explanation of what the Lord's Supper is? I mean, how do you get that? And a bunch of theologians sitting around being theologians. How about read the Bible and just let the Bible say what it is? And here's what it is. This do in remembrance of me. Here's what this is. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. There it is, right there. Let's just remember our Savior. Let's just remember him. You know, there is, I'm sure, if you have children, you can relate to this. If you have a child, you can think back to when your child was, let's say, 4 years of age. And that little four-year-old would look at you and think you walked on water. They thought you were it. And they emulated you in so many areas and so many ways. And you loved it. The family would sit around and say, oh, watch him, he acts just like his daddy. And daddy puffs his chest out. Now, not to mention, he just threw the ball through the lamp and out the window. But still, dad's proud. Yep, just like he's old man. Well, do you remember telling them how much you love them? Sure you do. Do you remember them telling you how much they love you? Sure you do. Well, let me ask you a question. Now that 30 years, 40 years has passed, let me ask you a question, Dad, Mom. When and if they come back. Oh, what are you doing here? Well, I just wanted to come by and give you a hug and tell you I love you. Well, after you get up off the floor, all right, and then they run back out to the car and zoom, they're gone. And there's a voice from inside say, who was that? That was my daughter. That was my son. What did they want? You're never going to believe it. They just want to tell me they love me. You're not going to be able to sleep that night. That's going to do more for your day than anything could. Right? And that's exactly what communion is all about here tonight. You're just taking this little piece of bread and you're remembering the fact that our Lord's body was nailed to that cross, bleeding profusely. Isaiah 53 tells us that when you looked at him hanging on that cross, you couldn't even tell that he was a man. Wow. Wow. You'll take that cup and you'll drink that cup and remember that it represents, it's a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't practice cannibalism around here. We practice remembering. Remembering. And may God help us to remember what Jesus did for us tonight. Let's bow for prayer. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Would you let the Lord speak to your heart tonight? Would you take a moment and just remember what the Savior has done for you? I tell you, one of the greatest things that any of us can do is just simply fellowship with the Lord Jesus. He just wants your attention. He just wants you to stop and think about him a little bit. He just wants you to be thankful. Now, our Father, as we close in prayer and then stand to sing and then take the Lord's Supper tonight, I pray that you will bless your word to our hearts. And Father, help us to be thankful to you. I pray that the Spirit of God will do a work of grace, and Father, just break our hearts tonight. We need to remember what you did for us. So Father, speak to every heart. I pray you'll draw each one of us into a closer walk of fellowship because of what we've heard this evening. So bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.